everybody knows that all the people don't have liberty, all the people don't have freedom, all the people don't have justice, and all the people don't have power, so that means none of us do.
Our generation is going to be recruited to fight these endless wars.
We will throw our bodies into the machine.
When you terrorize some of us, you terrorize every single one of us.
Tell them to turn off CNN. Tell them to turn off Fox News. The war is not in Iraq. It's on my block.
Ningún ser humano es ilegal.
I will put my body on the line every single day. Until this war comes to an end.
We must keep resisting, keep fighting, and never give up.
It is the business of the future to be dangerous.
Indie Bay presents Enemy Combatant Radio every other Sunday on Calex's Amandla at 5:30 p.m.
Arij Haki, 11, female. Miad Jamal Abbas, 11, female.
Michael Adams, 20. Thomas Mullen Adams, 27. Jamal Addison, 22.
Saif Albar, age 11, male. Marwa Abbas, age 11, female. Habarek Abbas, age 8, female. Safia Abbas, age 5.
Those were the names of the U.S. troops and Iraqi civilians killed in the war on Iraq. Over 11,000 Iraqi civilians have been killed since the beginning of the war. In addition, nearly 800 American troops have been killed, and over 100 other coalition forces have also died. U.S. officials revealed this week that at least 25 Iraqi and Afghani prisoners had been killed while in U.S. custody. New waves of photographs revealing U.S. and British forces torturing and humiliating Iraqi prisoners have swept through the international community, causing fury and disgust. Reva Entine spoke at one of the many anti-war demonstrations organized in the Bay Area on May Day.
The last month of U.S. aggression in Iraq has inspired what can only be described as a mutiny. Waves of soldiers, workers, and politicians under the command of the U.S. occupation authority, suddenly refusing to follow orders and abandoning their posts.
Spain, Honduras, the Dominican Republic, Nicaragua, Kazakhstan, South Korea, and Bulgaria have withdrawn their troops from Iraq, and New Zealand has withdrawn its engineers. Sasha participated in a procession of mourning to honor the dead in Iraq. He says that the war in Iraq has very little to do with coalition forces fighting terrorism.
It's about the U.S. is trying to maintain by force military and economic hegemony and build that hegemony and strengthen it around the world. And one of the ways they need to do that is by controlling resources in the Middle East, installing military bases throughout the Middle East.
While new evidence of torture in Iraq continues to surface, and more troops begin to question the reasons for the U.S. occupation of Iraq, anti-war activists in the Bay Area say that it has been clear from the beginning that the foundation of this war has been based on lies.
The information about the lies about uranium from Niger, weapons of mass destruction, the evidence of these being fabrications was there.
Legislation such as the No Child Left Behind Act allows military personnel to target high school students. With a military recruiting budget of over $2 billion per year, the military offers seemingly glamorous incentives to especially poor children and children of color. Citizens are concerned about the well-being of undertrained and inexperienced troops abroad.
We must demand that our government stop turning our children into killing and torturing monsters.
This is a legitimate concern, considering the photos of prisoner abuse revealed this week. This has been a dark week for the Bush administration, which has been forced to address international outrage about U.S. practices in Iraq.
People in Iraq must understand that I view those practices as abhorrent. They must also understand that what took place in that prison does not represent America that I know.
The International Red Cross has condemned the situation facing prisoners and says that the mistreatment is systemic and in some cases tantamount to torture. Additionally, new concerns have been raised, not only about the prisoners held in Iraq and Afghanistan, but also about the enemy combatants held in Guantanamo Bay.
What about the illegal mass detention? Are you investigating that? Look at all of the abuses in Iraq. You are a war criminal. Fire Rumsfeld!
Human rights activists from Code Pink interrupted testimony from Donald Rumsfeld before the Senate Armed Services Committee on Friday. While apologizing to the victims of the U.S. military, Rumsfeld dodged taking responsibility for torture. He claimed the U.S. military was operating under the Geneva Conventions.
The Geneva Conventions apply to all of the individuals there in one way or another. They apply to the prisoners of war, and they're written out, and they're instructed, and the people in the Army train them to that, and the people in the Central Command have the responsibility of seeing that, in fact, their conduct is consistent with the Geneva Conventions.
New photos under review are alleged to show worse abuses, including rape and murder. Anti-war activists hope that the anger aroused by the photos will inspire increased American dissent. For Enemy Combatant Radio on KLX's Amandala, this has been Liam O'Donohue and Sarah Olson.
Se acabó la noche. A darse cuenta de lo que pasó.
In December of 2001, San Francisco supervisor Gerardo Sandoval sponsored a groundbreaking initiative granting Mexican nationals official identification that would be recognized by U.S. authorities. At the time, despite pressure from the local level, legislators were unable to get the governor to sign a bill granting non-citizens driver's licenses, and the lack of verifiable identification within the immigrant community was causing serious problems. ECR spoke with Supervisor Sandoval.
You know, we couldn't get a governor and a legislature to pass something that would be successfully enacted. Since then, we've continued to advocate for the driver's license bill because having a consular ID card obviously does not allow you to drive a car legally nor get insurance.
Governor Gray Davis made an 11th-hour decision to sign SB 60 into law in an effort to win over the Latino vote as a major recall upset loomed overhead. This piece of legislation required that all applicants for a California driver's license or California ID card provide a social security number or a federal individual tax identification number and pass a driving test. As soon as Governor Schwarzenegger took office, he overturned the legislation. Less than 1 month later, citizens and immigrants alike took to the streets to protest his decision, pulling children out of school, refusing to go to work, and closing down their shops and businesses. A second protest was planned on Cinco de Mayo this week, but a smaller number of businesses participated. Angel is a local shop owner in the Mission and talks about the reasons for this and his community's frustrations with feeling unheard.
They think whatever they do, nobody's paying attention to what they do, nobody's listening to them. That's what the people say now to me. You know, I deal with these people, and I ask them, you know, every day when they come to my place, I ask them, what's going on, what do you think? They say, listen, man, I can go for 1 week. I lost my job, nobody cares. I did them already. I already went out a couple of days to the protest, you know, like we did them on the past, nothing happened. What happened now if I do the same thing? I want to get fired on my job. And then, hey, I don't get license, I don't get work, I don't get job, so what I'm going to do? People really want their license, you know? But nobody listens to them.
In at least 12 California cities, non-citizens make up the majority of adults, primarily supporting California's largest industry, farming. Angel talks about the discrepancies between those who have the privileges citizenship offers and those who work from below to support them.
Who's the one doing the job, you know? I don't see any people, you know, a guy who's been on the school for so many years learning computer or something like that, working on the field, taking care over there, you know, on the field, talking about tomatoes and all that kind of stuff. Nobody else does, right? But we need it. The guy who's working on the desk, on the building, on the computer, that guy he need to eat. That guy he has to eat. Who's the one is going to work to grow up his dinner, his food, his vegetable, whatever this guy is going to eat? Who's the one? People from some other country.
Supervisor Sandoval agrees and talks about the inherent racism in much of the current immigration policy, especially as pressure mounts to secure U.S. borders.
And my own personal view is that folks are here, they're working, and they're a fact on the ground. You know, we have to accept that. They're here, and they are cleaning our offices. They're the janitors in the office. They're the dishwashers in the restaurants that we all eat at. They are the people who change the beds in the hotels that everybody stays at and which drives the San Francisco tourist economy. And they are the people who obviously pick our fruit and vegetables and so forth and so on. And it'd be hypocritical to want them to work here, and we use them, but not allow them transportation. And we're all just very mindful that there is an element of racism that is involved in many of these measures. I mean, these folks are here, and I think if the folks were not from Latin America, you know, you would not see the same level of attention being paid to them. I mean, not to pick on any particular country, but you know, if you're a British butler with a heavy, you know, Cockney accent, you don't receive the same kind of scrutiny as if you're a dishwasher from let's say Nicaragua. And many times both are here without papers.
Martha is a young woman who works at a restaurant in the Mission. She talks about the necessity of having a license and the consequences of inevitably being caught without one.
Most of the times they get tickets, they start like paying a lot of money, and sometimes they take away their cards. And I think it's bad because we know that even if the people, they don't have the driver's license, they're still going to be driving. I mean, most of the people, they need a car. They need to drive to go to their jobs. And even if they don't have the license, they're gonna keep driving.
Ultimately, Martha sums up the reasoning of many.
I think because it's like me, like any kind of person, we're humans, and I think that we deserve the chance to have what we're asking for. We're working for this country, we're giving our best, and I think that's why we can deserve to have the opportunity to be listened by Arnold Schwarzenegger.
For Enemy Combatant Radio, on CalX's Amandla, I'm Sunny Anarchy.
Salía corriendo de un puerto a otro todas las noches del amanecer. Cuando detuvo su paso el loco, se quedó parado sin nada que hacer. Había perdido su sano juicio, había perdido ya su mujer. ¿Dónde quedó lo que más quería, lo que más sufría, lo que más guardaba? Y ese revólver le dio su querer.